I think roller derby is a hopeful thing.
He earned enough money from selling plants that he paid off the mortgage on his house.
People always want to know, is that a lie or is that the truth?
I completely disassembled this Triumph TR6.
I wish I could have been a professional woman soccer player.
I'm Martha Woodruff, and this is The Spark, an exploration of interesting people doing interesting things. Okay, it's summertime, and I don't know anyone who's not salivating at the thought of ripe tomatoes straight from the garden.
Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'll life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes.
In honor of the 2014 Tomato Fest at the Harrisonburg Farmers Market, I dove into the Sparkian archives and pulled out a 2012 conversation I had with Marlon Burkholder. He's one of my Singers Glen neighbors and, to my way of thinking, is a truly whiz-bang tomato grower.
Well, lots of people grow tomatoes, and there's plenty of people that grow tomatoes better than I do. I started in 1992 when I got off the dairy farm. And I started going to the farmer's market that summer. I think I put out something like around 125 plants.
What plants did you grow? Do you remember?
Well, I was growing a variety of old-time heirlooms and a few hybrids. And it's sort of, I still do that today. I try to get what I think is a good mix. I like working with the heirloom tomatoes. They're interesting. Somewhat subtle differences in flavor. You become kind of like a connoisseur of tomatoes after a while.
Well, talk to me about that, Mr. Connoisseur.
Well, everybody has their opinion about what is their favorite
tomato.
Yeah, but
I want yours.
I don't know if I really have any. I mean, I just like to grow a variety of those old tomatoes, and they all taste good if you grow them right. And
but if you had to be stuck on a desert island with one tomato plant, what would it be?
Well, I would say either a Blosser. Or maybe one called a Lydia's Orange, which I have come to like a lot better the last couple of years. Maybe a Cherokee Purple.
Describe these. Now, what's distinctive about them?
Well, the Blosser is just a pretty big, about a sandwich-size pink slicing tomato. They weigh around a pound a piece. Some will get up to a pound and a half. The Cherokee Purple is similar to the Blosser, only it's a very dark pink to purplish color.
There was one more that you were getting to
Lydia's Orange. Right. Okay, we had a house fire, burned her house down in 2007.
Sorry for that.
And a number of people from the Old Order Mennonite community responded by giving us some money, and some helped us buy some tools, and one or so gave us some tomato seed. And one of those tomato seeds is called Lydia's Orange. And I planted that thing, and hey, I like this thing. So I saved some seed from a couple pretty nice ones and took them to a couple of local greenhouses and said, here, y'all might want to try this thing. The next year, I go back to that greenhouse, and they've got these plants called Ruth's Orange. And I asked them, I said, well, where did you get this Ruth's Orange? They said, well, it's from that big tomato that you brought in last year. But that's another interesting thing about the heirloom tomato world is there's all kinds of interesting names. Aunt Ruby's Purple Delight, there's Brandywine. Everybody knows about the Brandywine. But there's lots of tomatoes out there that have somebody's name attached. When you start looking over these things, you realize, well, a lot of these tomatoes are probably the same variety.
I had a gentleman on the show who told me about mortgage lifter tomatoes.
Very intriguing story. I grew the thing a couple years, and I was delighted in telling my customers at the farmer's market how this guy had a radiator shop at the top of the mountain. Trucks coming across this mountain would stop at his place with hot radiators, and he would service the radiators, so he got the name Radiator Charlie. Well, as a hobby, he was growing tomatoes, and he got to playing around with a couple of different varieties, and he would plant a circle of one variety, and then he would plant another variety in the middle, and somehow he was even doing some hand pollinating of the outside varieties to the middle one, and he developed this thing, which later came to be called the mortgage lifter, and the way it got the name mortgage lifter was that supposedly in the 1930s, during the Great Depression years, he earned enough money from selling plants from this mortgage lifter plant that he paid off the mortgage on his house, and that's where they got the name mortgage lifter.
Let's talk about what it takes to grow a good tomato.
Yes. I'll start about the middle of February and plant my tomato seeds. And I plant them in seeding flats so that when they come up, I can select out the best plants. Now, most greenhouse producers that start tomato seeds, you know, for selling plants, will put the seedling into a small cell, what they call a 48-cell flat. So each little cell is about 2 inches or so one direction and an inch and a half the other, and it's about maybe 2 inches deep. Well, I found after a number of years, you know, you get your plant up there, it's somewhat root-bound because you grow a plant for 6 weeks, and by 6 weeks, you know, that thing is getting tall and you don't have that little root ball on it. So the first thing I started doing was, some growers say, repot them up as they grow so that they get a bigger root ball. Well, that involves a lot of bit of labor. So I did something called double dirting. I would just take pieces of cardboard and set them in the edges of the flat, and then I would pile more potting soil on top. And so that would make the plant deeper. Well, that worked fine. That helped the plant some, but I still wasn't satisfied. So finally, I started to just put in a little baby seeding. Instead of a 48-cell flat, I put them in a 24. So 24 plants in a flat instead of 48. That means the root ball to start with is twice the size of the other.
It's not just deeper, it's wider,
And then
too.
In addition, I come by when the plants get up about 4 to 5 inches tall, and I do the double dirting and put another 2 inches of soil on top.
Do you prick off the any branches that are growing?
At that stage, no. I'm still in the greenhouse.
And
I'm dealing with plants that are just getting up to about 5 inches tall.
Okay.
Where the leaves are just starting to touch each other. That's about when I do the double dirting.
Okay.
And then that gives me a transplant as big as my fist. And I've got a pretty good sized fist.
Yes, you do.
And so...
softball size, I would say.
So you've got a good, healthy, vigorous plant ready to go out to the garden. And I target my planting dates so that I'll have plants ready to go out to the garden by the middle of April, 20th of April.
Wow.
And if the weather delays and I can't get the plants out right away because I've got a big root ball, I can hold that plant another 2 weeks without any trouble. And I can carry them up to 8 weeks.
Now,
if I have to.
At the Singers Glen post office, when I'm in there talking about, have you got your garden in, which is your post office, right?
Right.
Singers Glen?
Yeah.
Everybody says Mother's Day, and here you are going the 20th of April?
Yeah, but you know, you don't go putting tomato plants outside in the field on the 20th of April because you're likely going to get a frost.
Okay.
So I'm leading up to the next thing that I've decided was really necessary if you want to grow good tomatoes. And that's to grow them in a plastic high tunnel.
Okay.
Which is a greenhouse-like structure that you put up out in a garden area, and you plant the tomatoes directly into the ground, but they have this plastic covering over the top, and you can close up the ends. So that allows you to get your plants out in the garden a couple weeks earlier than you normally would. The normal target date for planting tomatoes outside in this part of the country is somewhere around May the 10th. I'd like to get some plants out there by April the 20th, April 25th. My goal is to have ripe tomatoes coming off before the end of June.
Homegrown tomatoes, what a life be without homegrown tomatoes. Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes.
Tomato Fest, this Saturday at the Harrisonburg Farmers Market. Yum. WMRA will be there. How about you?